Well, is that right? There we go. Well, everyone, thanks for your patience. Today is such an important day because we are about to convey ordinance on Pastor Rob. And it's my privilege to stand on this stage with all these distinguished guests and to lead you through what an ordination ceremony might feel and look like. And for some of you, this might be very strange because you've never been part of one of these. 18 years ago, when I first started at the district office, we used to ordain our clergy at our district conferences. And I thought, that's kind of nuts, because they're not there in their local church. And their local church doesn't get to honor them in their local setting. So we changed it. We brought ordination to the local church. And so we're standing here in tribute to Pastor Rob and Amelie. And I'd like you guys to just come forward for a moment. Let's give them a hand, friends, for this. Amazing. Right up in the front here. Ordination is a right, a privilege that the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada bestow on clergy who have found themselves accountable and proven to be faithful. This is a scripture out of 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. It says, "To the elders who direct the affairs of the church, they are well worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching." And so I stand here as the district superintendent for three more days, and this will be my last ordination. You have done hundreds of these. This will be my final one. So that certificate you're going to get in a moment will have my signature on it. And so it's just such an honor. This is an affirmation of the divine call that Jesus placed on Pastor Rob and Amelie's life many years ago. It's acknowledgement of their spiritual gifts. They have been given gifts and talents, abilities and skill to lead congregations, and they have been faithful in doing so. This is the POC's endorsement of ministerial competency, character, and spiritual maturity that they have demonstrated throughout their pastoral service. And finally, it's the ministerial accountability to our doctrine, our statement of faith, our ethics, our morality, and our spiritual disciplines. So I want just to describe for you what Pastor Rob's journey looked like to get here. It was not easy. It was not easy. And I said to him in the office before we came out to the auditorium that his journey has really mimicked mine. Mm-hmm. We were both in business. In fact, he was the manager of a Walmart store with a very successful career. You should see some of the certificates on his wall. It's quite impressive. And many years ago, before 1986, I was managing a department store. It wasn't called Walmart at that time. It was called Wilco. And I answered the call of God as well, and then took my education through correspondence and completed my master's a few years ago. But your education is being honored today. You persevered, Pastor Rob, and I'm proud of you. Mm-hmm. You received an appointment to ministry in Whitehorse. Pastors are on stage here. Your first appointment to ministry. You went through ordination retreats with us to work on things like ministerial proficiency, multiplication, soul care, counseling, strategic leadership. Those are some of the many topics that were covered. Then there was an ordination application and an interview process. There was the approval of the POC credentialing committee. And here we stand today at number six. You passed all those steps with flying colors. And we're going to ordain him in a few minutes with your help. And then there's an affirmation in October. All his colleagues, all the ordained ministers and credential holders will gather in Langley, and that will be an affirmation of what happens here today. So this part is personal. So I don't mean to turn my back on you at all, but this is really pastor to pastor. So if I may, let me just direct these next remarks to you. Paul in Ephesians writes these scriptures, Pastor Rob and Amelie. It says, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." So in this charge, in this sacred charge I'm about to lay before you, I've extracted some sentences from that scripture. Paul says, live a life worthy of the calling you have received. That's so interesting. I want you to know, from me to you, I have seen you live a life worthy of your calling. And I commend you. As your pastor, as the district pastor, I stand here on this stage in my heart just giving thanks to God because you have been so faithful. You have lived a life of integrity. And that means doing what's right when no one else is watching. You have done that. You have demonstrated moral purity. There could have been times you went off, but you didn't. And you kept that moral purity. There have been professional ethics I've seen in you. You did the right thing. Even as section pastor, as a leader of our district, you did the right thing at the right time. And then, of course, you're a lifelong learner. And I appreciate that. All the books I saw on your shelf in your office demonstrates for us that you're continuing to learn and grow. And that's important. The second thing I charge you with is humility. Paul says, be completely humble. You know, narcissism is increasing in our world, is it not? We have leaders, world leaders, who are leading for their own benefit and for their own pride and ego. Pastor Rob and Amelie, I don't see that in you. I see humility in you. I see servant leadership in you. I see that you exercise influence and you don't dominate. You don't lord it over people, and I want to commend you for that. And I know that you live modestly. You live humbly and modestly, and I just want to acknowledge that today. Thirdly, I charge you with the responsibility to be completely gentle. Here's what I see in you. I see gentleness. I see meekness, but I don't see weakness. People often confuse the two. They think meekness is weakness, and it's not. Meekness is placing your power under the submission of Jesus Christ. And you do have authority. You do have power. And I commend you today for not misusing that power. Being gentle, having your power under submission of Jesus, and being a shepherd who loves sheep. Sheep are gentle, humble animals. You don't have to. They sometimes bite you. And sometimes they make messes. But as a shepherd, you come in behind them and you help and clean them and love them. I charge you with the responsibility to be patient. Now here I am standing on this stage, charging you to be patient, and I'm not a good example of that. I hate grocery lineups, and all of that just irritates me. But I see in you the ability to persevere. Your journey through the POC credentialing process was not easy, but you persevered, and you stayed with the call that God had placed on you, and I just love that about you. You're tenacious, not stubborn, and you have remained faithful, and you've endured opposition. There's been lots of it in ministry. I charge you with the responsibility to bear with others lovingly, in love. Forgive as God has forgiven you. That's the mandate from Scripture. Be gracious and kind. Love sinners, hate sin. You know, sinners are prone to sin, but they're not out of the love of Christ. And so just love people as you have so frequently and generously. Make every effort to maintain unity through the bond of peace. Celebrate diversity. Remember I said last night that the body is made up of all kinds of parts. We're not all the same. And there's a beautiful body of Christ sitting before you that is so diverse. Celebrate that. Unity is not unanimity. It's coming together in the bond of peace to agree, to disagree. And I've seen in you the ability to be a peacemaker. And I commend you for that. So this morning, I want these lovely people to come forward, and I'm going to anoint you with oil. Here it is. We normally use a bucket, and we pour it over you. But would you stand with me, friends? Change your position. Perhaps reach a hand out as these people come, and reach a hand out, lay hands on this couple. Such an honor to be here with your mentors. In Jesus' name, I anoint you now, Pastor Rob, with this oil as a symbol of God's power and His presence. I anoint you with this as a seal of protection upon you. I anoint you with this oil as a reminder that Jesus Himself anointed people, prayed over them, and they were healed and transformed. Amelie, I anoint you with this oil today as a reminder of your calling to stand with your husband and your family in this sacred, sacred calling. And I pray over you as a couple that your marriage would be strong, that your family would be devoted to Christ, that you would stand through the hardships and all the opposition and be victorious over all the harmful things the devil would bring your way, that there would be a shield about you, behind you, around you, over top of you, and underneath you, that no harm would come to you. I pray, Father, that you would protect this couple, this family, throughout their ministry years, that you would inspire them with words from God, prophetic words that are timely and appropriate for this congregation. I pray, Father, that the hands that they extend out to you today would be hands filled with anointing and power to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Father, I pray that their ministry would be gaining influence and that their influence would expand throughout Terrace, throughout the Northwest section, and even throughout the province and into Canada, Father. I pray Pastor Rob's voice, his proclamation, would be anointed and used, Father, to turn people's heart toward Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you would fill them with your Holy Spirit today, that you would give them gifts and talents and ability, and that the fruit of the Holy Spirit would shine through them each and every day of their lives. So today, it's my honor to convey ordinance upon you, Pastor Rob. This moment on, let me introduce to you, ladies and gentlemen, Reverend Robert Charles Young. Can we take a picture? Let's take a picture of this one. Oh, sweetheart, come back. We need a picture of this one. There you go. All right, has everybody got a... There's the certificate. All right, thank you. Please be seated. Pastor Rob, it's all yours.
Yeah, I need you to stand with me because this will be helpful. Just wanted to share a little bit of my journey with you to today because most of you know some of the story, but lots of you don't know it personally, so I want to convey a lot of it and be new information for you. When I came into this world, the importance of an earthly father is pretty vital, and I definitely didn't have one. And I don't like disorders or labeling individuals. Dyslexia might be considered one of them if I was to have one, because in grade 3, I couldn't read or write. And when the teacher would ask me to read something like this, kids would laugh at me. And if you can imagine in the early 80s, to get an EA in your class, but to be a specific EA for you was pretty unlikely. And at the end of that year, the EA said, "We don't know if your son is not interested or if he's stupid." And so that kind of was difficult at a very young age. My birth name is Robert Murray Wynn. But I was adopted later on. That's how I got the name Robert Charles Young. I remember sharing this story with you. I definitely didn't tell the search committee when I got hired here. I was living in Prince Rupert as a drug dealer. I would come to Terrace often and sell, and I would get put in the overnight cells. And most of us know that this church gives brand new clothes to people that end up in the overnight cells. So, you know, 30 years ago, you were clothing your future pastor, and you just can't orchestrate that kind of a thought. I went on a bit of a journey to get my theological degree. It's a 4-year program that went on a journey over 8 years, and these fine folks behind me here, Pastor Joel and Rhonda Nettleton, made a way for me. They said, "You have 5 days of work week. I want you to take one day, for 8 years and we'll pay you to get your theological degree. I treasure and I honor those individuals here today so that I could even stand here today because of what the sacrifice that they made for me. And lots of you know today that are here in this local church, like, it has been a struggle these last 3 years. I've been diagnosed with all kinds of things, and it's been hard to get out of bed certain days. And so I'm not here to gripe and to complain, but I just want you to feel how important this moment is here for me. I feel like I've had to fight most of my life just to even, you know, have a roof over my head. So I'm so grateful to be here right now. And Ken, as your last ordination certificate, is probably, I would say, probably the least candidate to receive an ordination with that kind of a background. But God, with a mighty right hand, redeemed this sinner, this messed up young kid. And so if he could do it for me, you have no excuse. I just need to say that out loud. I just wanted to say that. So, yeah, there we go. Okay, that was number one. Okay. If you don't mind, hon, if you could just, let's go back with our family here for a second. I want to make a few statements here, just my own journey. Okay, so in New Year's 2000, three times the Lord has called out to me. I had a bag of alcohol and a bag of drugs and a girlfriend coming over, New Year's 2000. And I remember this individual or this voice speaking to my heart and says, you can live that lifestyle if you want, or you can change your lifestyle and follow me. And so I chose to follow that voice. I had no idea who it was. I understand it's the Holy Spirit now. A second time, a voice called out to me again. So I went, I gave my life to Jesus that day. I was radically saved, radically transformed. At Lake Cowichan on Vancouver Island, there's Friday's Cry Band. It's a young adults retreat. I went there and I just sat there. And I thought, I ain't no church. I don't know what's going on here. And I remember that voice spoke to me again. And when somebody was preaching, they said, you're going to do that. And I've had a third call in my life. It hasn't happened yet, so I'm not going to tell you about it. When it happens, I'll tell you about it. That was the second slide. Let me now turn around, and I apologize to you now, but I'm going to turn my back on you just for a moment. That didn't come out right. Turn my back on you. I'm just going to turn around for a second. We'll edit that later. Just would like to say a few things over every person. I wouldn't be here today, honey, if you didn't stand with me and support me. Just your love and support has made it so enjoyable. And so I love you so much. So we celebrate together today. I couldn't do it. Right on. If you remember back to, you know, our courtship, and we had a wedding rehearsal, and went through all the moving parts, and everybody left the room. And I just grabbed your hand, and we just knelt at the altar, and we just cried out to God. We said, God, we're just two sinners, and we would love to be used for the kingdom's sake. And so it's been a fun 23 years. This is a true statement. When the search committee was looking at hiring and bringing us to Terrace, they said, yeah, Pastor Rob, he's pretty good. But his wife, Amelie, is amazing. So the reason I got this job is because of my wife. There's some truth to that one, eh? Here's my lovely family. Thanks for sharing me with the people in Bethany Church and the people here in Terrace. I know there's times when I get called away or get busy, but, you know, we get daddy dates every month, and you know, that just means so much to me when I get to just spend time with you, whether we're swimming or we're maybe going for, you know, picking some mushrooms, or we're hiking a mountain, or you know where that's going, man. We're going to be eating some food, you know, me and you. Like, we're always going out for dinner. But thanks for sharing me with everybody else here. That means a lot. Joel and Rhonda, wow. 16 years I was under your leadership, and they were a rich 16 years. You guys were wonderful mentors. The reason I wear a suit and tie, just so you know, good mentorship right there. And so thank you so much. I think the most memorable parts for me, Joel, is when you and I, we would work hard, and there would be difficult days, and you would say, let's get in the vehicle. Let's go out to camp. It's an hour and a half drive, and we just got to shoot the breeze and unload. And then we did this often, and so we did this a few times first, and then we included our spouses, our wives. We would do like a 24-hour prayer and fast. We'd just go to camp, light a fire, and we would just talk about ministry. We'd just pray. We'd just say, God, what are you doing in our church, and what are you doing in us? And so that really spoke to me, and it really mentored and shaped the person that I am today. I owe you more than you can imagine. So I actually just want to hug you. Is that okay? Like, God bless you guys. Yeah, love you so much. We're going to go there too, yeah. Love you. So Blaine and Karina, now correct me if I'm wrong, when I moved to Whitehorse, we were married in 02. You guys got married in, I'm going to say, 03. Thank you. I got it right. I had a question mark. I just want to make sure. So you guys invited us to your wedding. I'm like, we don't even know this couple, right? We just moved to Whitehorse. But the time that we had together, I remember, so when we were youth pastors in the beginning, you were the youth leaders. And so we took part of the youth budget because we all had kids, you know, just, I don't know what happened there, something in the, and so we took some of the budget. So we had babysitters so that adults could hang out. And so every time we ran youth, then we go to Boston Pizza, like this happened every week. Then our kids got a bit older and, you know, I became associate and, you know, you were on the board. And so every board meeting, after the board meeting, then you and I would go down to Boston Pizza. We had tried every pizza. We tried everything on the menu. We were asking the waitresses, like, what would you recommend? We got all kinds of creative things. And so at the end of the day, though, I really cherish our relationship. And, you know, we left Whitehorse, you know, almost 7 years ago. And we're still, you know, I don't have a lot of friends. You're one of my closest friends, but right, so appreciate you. Right, love you so much.
Been
so good. It's okay if I give you those. Love you guys. Yeah. Brian, I know that we're kind of, you know, newer in our friendship, but often we would meet up once a year at a fishing retreat, or when I came down south to hang out with Phil and you guys at a restaurant. But I just remember hours and hours in a boat. This is usually what it was. We were like, hey, you know, in my life we've been going, oh, I'm fish on. And they're like, yeah, and how is it? Like, oh, I'm fish on. You know, it's just like, man, we were just into fish all day long. And so I just treasure, though, our conversation. And even when you came here, like you went out of your way. You didn't have to come, but you made an effort to come. So that speaks volumes to me. And when you ask me, like, how are you doing? You know, I really feel like I can be absolutely transparent with you because you do. You want to know, you care, and you want to pray about that. So, Brian, I honor you for being here and standing with me today. So God bless you. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, my friend.
Yeah. Love you. People usually ask me, how did I become friends with Phil Cann? You know, like, so when I was on staff in Whitehorse, the two of you and usually Mitch Kirby and a few others would come up and do a fly fishing retreat for the men. And so part of my role was to either pick you up or to, you know, take care of some of those details. So, you know, we got to hang out, had some good laughs together. But then, you know, after the first year, you just phoned me. You said, hey, I got a free plane ticket almost anywhere in Canada or something. You said, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to go here. I'm going to go up to Inuvik to a Muskrat Jamborees. I'm in. And so for years and years and years, you and I would get in a 15-passenger van with a bunch of crazies, usually with a bag of beef jerky, like, oh, yeah, it was a long drive. And we would just drive up the Dempster Highway to Inuvik and Tuktoyaktuk so we could freeze our flipping knickers off at minus 40 and flip burgers so that youth could come down to the camp and hear about Jesus. And so we did ministry like that for years. And so thank you so much for allowing me to kind of, you know, have some fun with you. And I think about now moving forward too. So now we're here. And so that we don't do that anymore. Other churches have kind of, you know, taken some leadership on that. So I know that you and I are just knocking on another opportunity. So I'm looking forward to another road trip with you. We'll see how it turns out. I'm not sure. But God bless you, Phil. I love you so much. Thanks for coming down, babe. I know you don't do hugs, but I'm going to hug you anyways. There we go. That's usually what we do. Yeah. Somebody that's not here today, Ken, knows though, is Dave Solms. Dave Solms was an assistant district superintendent at the time when I was on for a lot of years, and he just wrote something. I just want to read that out, even though he's not here. We didn't do a video. It says, congratulations to Pastor Rob. Sorry, I got that wrong. Reverend Rob. Can I say that one time? Just one time. Promise I won't use it again. On your recognition of ordination with the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, we're so thankful for the love of God and his work in your life. God has set you apart through your ministerial calling and his giftings. Today we honor you and your ministry and your obedience to God over the years. Thank you for loving and leading so well. So, Dave, I really appreciate that. Guy is a wonderful man of God. I want to just finish with this thought here. You didn't need to preach at some point this morning, but we got lots of time. We know that you're resigning, and you had kind of given notice of that almost more than a year ago. And so your last email of 2025 that you sent out, I just want to read a part of it because I treasure these things, and so it means a lot to me. So it says, as we stand on the threshold of 2025, leaders of the capital C church, leaders of the church, are being called to a higher standard, one that requires vision, courage, and unwavering resilience on the Holy resilience of the Holy Spirit. The world around us is changing rapidly, but the mission of Christ Church remains unshaken, to make disciples of all nations, Matthew 28. For leaders, this mission demands boldness, clarity of purpose, and the power of the Holy Spirit for guidance, wisdom, and to sustain us. And so, Ken, after, I came on staff and you became district superintendent at the same time, and after all that time, though, it's the same message, though. Go and make disciples, win people for Jesus. So thank you for doing that so well. As you've led so well in our district, I've been able to be ministered to and gleaned and been poured into. So Ken, this morning, I honor you. I love you so much. God bless you. Yeah. Okay, there we go. We're all done.
I don't mind hugging.
Yeah.
The British only hug their horses.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, maybe just a nice round of applause for my mentors and my friends.